There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
There, just press all the right buttons, and then away we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you all along. Another hour of live local talk. And a phone number and text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. If you want to chime in, I'll read a couple of the texts from last hour. And it seems like some of y'all were kind of following through that tough question I had. The one about the fentanyl thing, and I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how you do that, because obviously I'm like other parents. I'm a no, can't do nothing. You're a child. You could do nothing. But I also am a realistic person, and I realize that there's temptations out there. But how do you navigate that? I mean, to say everything's a no, but I mean, you saw those kids up at, I think it was Ohio State. I probably had the college wrong, but they took what they thought was Adderall, right, to study. I'm not encouraging or saying that that's okay, but they're going to do it. And they did it, and they overdosed. They died. So it's beyond just the fear here of the addiction to opioids that exist out there. Now, in this world of fentanyl, the first time they mess around with something they shouldn't be doing. And I know all of y'all were perfect. I know all of y'all never did anything wrong. I know. The text line is pure as a driven snow, always made every right decision. Y'all have always been perfect. But for the humans that listen to this, maybe they made bad decisions. And what if that one bad decision would have been death? And it's really a fear, and I talk to my children, you know, on the drinking side. I say, you know, here's the thing, kids. As you get older, you're going to go to college or whatever. If you're going to be drinking, beer has a limiting factor that you're going to get so full, right, or you're going to get sick. Tell them about that before, you know, you'd get into a bad situation. But here's the problem. You can drink and drive. You can hurt somebody. You can be hurt by somebody. Those things are these dangers. But what if we were in a situation where beer was like, there was counterfeit beer. It had some kind of fentanyl in there or something, and they had a sip of that beer or something, and they were dead. What about that? And so that's one of the kind of the second part of this discussion, beyond just what Dr. Lloyd said and the fear over the addiction to opioids and what he went through and what he recovered from. What about the situation where somebody takes one pill and they're dead? I think it's something to discuss, and we got to. We got to continue. Obviously, it's a huge issue throughout the country, and here at home, big issue. State of Alabama, one of the top states. Remember, we used to have the stats there for prescriptions per. Wasn't it like a prescription per person or something like that when it came to opioids? And maybe some, if not the whole state, some. You know what? It was congressional districts, if I remember, and like the fourth or one, I forget which congressional district in Alabama had the highest density of prescriptions of opioids per citizen. I've got Dalton. If you can get the old Google machine on that, let me know, and we'll see what we can do with it. All right, check my connections here. See if he is on with us. My friend Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Cameron, are you on? We've not gotten him through. Okay, so we'll work that. We'll work. What is the term? We'll effort that. Yeah, we'll effort that and see if we get him on. Have him. Okay, he's there. All right. Let me try it again. Cameron, are you there? You know what it is, Cameron. Let me press this button and then There
it's
it
in
is.
The cave.
There you are. I've got you. We have a connection. Cameron Smith, AL.com, the Triptych Foundation. Hello to you.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Well, it looks like you need to not pay off college debt. It's what it looks like.
Yeah, what chumps are we to pay off? I mean, to take out a loan, to maximize our lifetime earnings, and then turn around and, you know, we should have just said, you know, it's someone else's responsibility to pay for our future. You know how that works.
Okay. So let's talk about the situation right now that this started with pandemic, right? So everybody remembers this discussion of, right, we're going to have a temporary stay on paying student loans. And that came out, and I think it was bipartisan. I don't have the vote in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that was bipartisan back then. Everybody's like, yeah, you got to do that, right?
Sure.
Okay. So that goes. Yes,
absolutely. It was.
Okay. So I watched that and I said, okay. Back then, I think I said it, we can rewind the tape and hear it. I said back then, this is going to be an extreme political hot potato, third rail, whatever cliche you want to use, because whoever then puts it back on is going to be, you know, called everything but a child of God by some groups out there. So that was going on, and you had President Trump, you know, he was in the White House when that happened, and then he continued the stays of this, and then President Biden comes in and he continues the stays. I was thinking it would be like a can kicked down the road for a long time. I didn't think it would go this way. I thought it would be a continuation of just each president would be like, oh yeah, you don't have to pay it. You don't have to pay it. We'll wait. Times are tough. It's this and that. But then to go, you know, full kitty here and say he's going to cancel $10,000 worth of federal student loan debt, depending on what you make a year. This is amping it up.
Yeah, and I think we're in a situation where folks are saying, I took out this debt. Most people don't realize this, but, and Brookings has got great information on this, but over the lifetime of a four-year college degree, somebody's going to earn about $1 million more. So even if they're in the 6% that has $100,000 or more debt, then they're earning a lot more over their lifetime so that they get a net benefit. The idea that, oh, woe is me, these people are buried under mountains of debt and it's everyone else's responsibility to pull them out. I mean, if you want to talk about the value props of colleges and whether the government should be subsidizing worthless degrees, okay, let's talk about that. That's good policy. But the idea of, well, this is the right thing to do. No, it's not. It's actually morally reprehensible.
And that's the tough thing. Like anything, though, that bears out something other than a bumper sticker discussion out there often has nuance. And I'm with you. And I've talked about, you and I have talked about it a long time. I mean, what it cost me when I was a student at the University of Alabama versus what it costs, you know, a family now per semester, and how that is so out of whack with, you know, it's the multiples of more money it takes each semester to be a student there versus what you get paid in the workplace are not even lining up close. I mean, you pay way more for the degree versus what you can earn than I did back then. But, and that's problematic. And federal money out there that continues to flow easily has colleges raise tuition to meet that amount. I am 100% in agreement. We've talked about it forever on this show. But the problem is, it is more nuanced than that, right? Because that stinks. That's rotten. But because of that, do you say, hey, this group of Americans, we're going to, you know, we're going to relieve you of this debt and the rest of America is going to pay for it?
No, because we shouldn't pay for people who are stupid. And if somebody's like, I'm going to go to the University of Alabama and I'm going to get an art degree. Okay, that sounds cool. And I like art. But tell me how you're going to pay for that degree, because to the best of my knowledge, they don't lower the cost of the degree because you're pursuing something where you don't have high economic prospects. And I think that's a fair policy discussion that we need to have, which is we want to see 2 years after graduation, 1 year after graduation, and then you can do it 1 in 5, whatever you want to do, so that we know if you graduate from this school with this degree, this is the average salary of people in those ranges, right? And that's useful, right? Because now I know, is it fair for you to pay X amount? And then you know, should I invest in this degree? Because the problem is, people always have the horror stories of, well, I got this degree and I paid $40,000, $50,000, and I'm making $25,000 a year. Okay, like, that's not a great deal, but like, is it my job or someone else's job to overcome the fact you made a bad deal. That no is the answer, and I'm sorry, but you're accountable for your decisions. And you know, I might be very interested in pursuing a degree in women's studies, but I better make dang sure I can make money off of it.
I think my dad once told me that's what he thought I was studying up there. But that was a different discussion.
Sure.
Yeah, he said, but it wasn't in the classroom.
But you got to be able to pay the bills, right? I mean, like, I don't care what you study. It can be basket weaving, but you better make a heck of a basket if you're paying $20,000 a year to learn to make it.
Oh, and all my women's studies were outside the classroom. That's what he pointed out. Okay, if you give government a choice of one of two things here, guess which one they're going to choose? I mean, if they had to choose, well, we can forgive debt and try to recruit some people to support us and like us because we did that, or we can make it tougher to get loans or the amount of money that we'll have through a loan, a Pell Grant or something like that. They're always going to choose this one. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. Have we lost Cameron? Okay, let's do this because I thought I heard the connection going out. We'll get some news, right? We'll get some of the news, some of the updates here, and then we'll come back. More of our conversation with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. Plus, we got SCADs, really, capital S SCADs of text to read as well. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Back to our conversation with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation in just a second. Right now, let's check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and we get to talk trucks, not only trucks, F-250. Do tell.
Well, we got an F-250 crew cab, 6.7 diesel. And it's got a 8-foot bed. It is a work truck. It is a Ford XL, and it is priced right. It's a neutral color, and it's got rubber floors. I mean, it's a really, really nice truck.
Man, it's like you painted this picture for me. Let's talk about financing on a truck like that. What kind of options are we looking at?
On that truck, we probably get 72 months with good credit, or if you got, you know, challenging credit and you need it to work with so you can make some money, we can get you financed too. Just need a little bit of money down.
All right. Well, let's talk about coming to see you. Give us address to see or in person, which is great. But also you do this thing online where we can look at vehicles as well.
Well, they can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com, or they can come by the office. We're at Highway 90 Plantation in Theodore, 1 mile south of I-10. Or give us a call, 251-375-0068. We FaceTime you if you'd like as well.
All right, David, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. There's David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And continue our conversation with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation, and talking about college loan debt and forgiveness here. The total stinks. I'm not happy with the number of dollars owed here in this, but is that a reason to do something about it? What is it? I think we're at like $3 billion or something like that owed out there. It stinks, but I'd like to have my house note paid off too.
Oh, are you talking about $3 billion in the range of total student loan debt out there? I mean, that's like $1.5 trillion. I mean, there's tons of student loan debt out there. We're talking, it's I think now above credit card debt.
Yeah, the $300 billion is what the taxpayers would be on for, though, with this forgiveness.
Sure, and this is a. I want to be real specific with my language here. This is the model that folks on the left particularly subscribe to, which is if there's a thing we like, government should pay for it, right? So why not just start? Why don't you pay off my credit card bill? Why don't you pay off Sean Sullivan's? Why don't you pay off random? Because that would be a good thing. So we like good things, and so good things come from the taxpayer. This is a morally bankrupt thought process, and it's dangerous because it leads to the type of inflation we're experiencing right now. And frankly, Republicans haven't been very good at saying no either. But that's the problem here, is that when we start saying if it's a good thing, the government should provide the thing, or the government should subsidize the thing, well, what's the limiting factor? Like, is it only degrees that we think are economically necessary for our labor force? Is it everybody who wants to get a degree? What's the principle here? What's the game plan? And there isn't one. And so that's the reason that we should just oppose this, because it's stupid.
Okay, let's talk specifically on the inflation side of this too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this would be have pretty heavy duty inflationary pressure, right? Because there's these dollars that people who had these loans were having to choose where to spend those dollars, and part of it is whenever it gets turned back on, which it obviously not now, paying back their debt was going to take those dollars out of the market or take them out of the spending loop. Now all those dollars will go back into the spending loop at the same time that it happens, well, $300 billion worth out there. It should be a hyperinflationary measure. Maybe not hyper, but it's going to push it a lot.
Yeah, I, as far as the push, we've already dumped trillions. So in the grand scheme of things, hey, what's $300 billion more? That said, they just spent 300 and something billion in the Inflation Reduction Act that didn't actually do the thing it said it would do. So now to come on with this, it's like they're just, they don't care, right? This is like political nihilism of, it doesn't matter, we're going to do what we want because we think it's like fun politics, not be responsible grown-ups and govern. And look, you can criticize Republicans and say they haven't done much better and their track record isn't much better. Sure. But the idea that we have high inflation, the Federal Reserve is basically trying to pull money out of the economy. It's raising interest rates and pulling it, and it's going to do it again, right? And so this is counter to the efforts of what the Federal Reserve's trying to do to get inflation under control. But hey, who cares? It's just what we want right now. And so this is the politics of little children, where it's like, I want it, I want it, I want it. It doesn't matter what the reality is. I want it and it's good. So you're bad if you oppose it. I mean, this is dumb.
I may be out of my league here. You can correct me with your law degree. Is there any kind of challenge, could be a 14th Amendment challenge for equal protection here? Because, you know, you paid back your loans and then, but these people don't have to. Is there anything to that?
I mean, probably not. I mean, I actually talked to a buddy off the air before I jumped on with you that he was a fellow lawyer, and he said, well, who has standing to sue here? Mm-hmm. Who is harmed? Well, the taxpayer, obviously. But we've already established that the taxpayer doesn't have general standing to sue, right? We have elections for that sort of thing. So who could come in here? And I mean, I think it's got to be Congress or somebody saying, Biden doesn't have the authority to do this legislatively, and he is basically violating a separation of powers. But again, the harm is to the taxpayer. It's not to the borrower. The borrower is going to say thank you. Yeah. So the borrower is not going to sue. So it's a weird situation right now.
Yeah, well, but I wonder if there's a political miscalculation, though, because if Republicans use this as a bludgeon, maybe there are way more people who are going to have to pay taxes to make up for this than the people that have the forgiveness and the loan, right? If you're looking at just raw numbers, maybe there's something to that.
Well, but there's also funny math, right? Like if the issue was my tax bill goes up by X percent because of this, then sure, absolutely, we would have riots. People would lose their minds. But the irresponsibility of federal governance right now is that tax policy doesn't change just because we blow out spending policy or give away money like this. That's the reality. And so taxpayers have become accustomed to, well, my bottom line's not hurt if the federal government does something. This is just a theory because we don't actually try to balance revenues and spending. And that's an accurate depiction of where we are right now.
All right. Tell folks if they want to discuss this issue or read your work over your opinion pieces, where do they go?
Go to @DCameronSmith on Twitter. That's where I tweet a lot of the articles I have. AL.com/opinion. Or you can find me at the USA Today Network based at the Tennessean. Please join the conversation.
As always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, bud.
All right. There he is, Cameron Smith. And coming right back, grab phones and text. Although you get some phone calls on this, too, because I'm getting a lot of people with their commentary here on the student loan issue. I'd love to hear from you. 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, I have a Catch Me Outside girl update. Who knew? She was, yeah. So she's, speaking of tuition, she's putting out a scholarship. I'm serious. She has got You know, the Bad Baby, the Catch Me Outside, how about that scholarship? Yeah, we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Hi, I'm Sean. This guy right here, this is Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Y'all say hello to Angelo. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Sean.
Hey, man. A lot to talk about at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. That's kind of because y'all have a lot of stuff to check out there. But I want to pick this first, the free appraisals thing. Because guaranteed, every time we talk about this, I get texts and they're like, what did he say about free appraisals? So, okay, you got the podium again. What is the deal with free appraisals?
So, if you have a coin collection, jewelry collection, you want to know what it's worth, our appraisals are absolutely free. Now, if you need to get insurance on your coins, on your gold and silver bullion, that's totally free. You know, that insurance appraisal, 100% free. If you needed an insurance appraisal for jewelry, there is a charge on that. But as far as a fair market price on everything, no charges whatsoever.
And you mentioned some of those reasons. Yeah, some of those reasons people are looking for those appraisals. And yeah, if whether like I've had family members come that are trying to get a real idea of what something's worth that somebody's selling, or in a situation where you have items in a will you're trying to break up equally, but then just for insurance reasons, I mean, they'll say, "Oh, what's that worth?" Well, I don't know. Angelo does.
Well, and it's really important because you might have a bunch of stuff there that you have to divide between four family members, and you want to make sure that it's done equitably. Got to be fair to everybody. And the other side of that is you don't want to be the bad guy. So all of a sudden, you know, they're pushing you, Sean, why did he get this? Why didn't I get that? Well, no worries. Angelo did that all, or Ron did that all. So we're the good guy or the bad guy. It takes a little bit of that pressure off the family to try to divide stuff up and be fair about it, especially when you really don't know that much about the coins or the collection in general.
Speaking of coins, what's new at the shop? What's come in?
Let's see. We did get the fourth in that Black Flag Fleet series, that pirate series. I think I did talk about that the other day. We're down to two of the Bugs Bunny coins. We had a bunch of those come in. I'm down to two Bugs Bunnies. I was actually sort of surprised at how popular Bugs was. Wasn't surprised at how popular the Einstein coins are. We're almost up 40 or 50 of those and just have a handful left right now. But like I said, wasn't surprised. Einstein's a pretty cool character, pretty interesting guy. And so that's been flying off the shelves.
All right. Well, tell folks how they can go check out that coin and all the other things going on at the store in the real world, online, and then talk about that radio show.
Man, we're all over the place, aren't we?
Yeah.
Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. Check us out right here on 106.5 every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. with Two Guys and Some Change. And if you miss it there, go to wherever you listen to your podcast and look us up and check it out.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
Hey, you too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, we'll go to the phones here. And people are asking me some specific questions. I don't know. Consult your financial advisor here. Terry says, if it's forgiven debt, isn't that taxable? Don't know. I've never had the forgiven debt. So I think I've heard that before, but this thing coming out today, I don't know all the rules. I will say on the continuation of the stay of paying the debts, I saw this coming. I mean, because this happened under former President Trump. Okay. And then they remember it was bipartisan support because, of course, of the pandemic and people aren't working, so they can't pay their student loan debts. I said, okay, it seems like a legitimate discussion. Even though the same didn't happen for auto loans or all those other things. But so then they kicked it, you know, they kept like, okay, it sunsets now. Okay, we're going to move it forward. And they kept kicking it forward. And then President Biden gets hold of it and does the same thing. And I started thinking about this is a political third rail. Who wants to be the person that tells everybody they have to pay their loans back? It's the right thing to do, but politically, is it? All right, go to the phones and what have I got here? Freddie, my man in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
What's up?
Hey, you.
It happens that I repaid my son's college loans, and now, according to the President of the United States, now I got to pay somebody else's college loan.
Yeah. Yep.
So that, I mean,
aren't you lucky?
Fairness, where's the fairness to that?
I don't think there is any. I don't know if the Republicans could get that message out better. That it's not, hey, the Republicans want to be mean to the people with the student loan, you know, that's crushing them, because there's real stories of that out there, but they don't want to put that loan on somebody who didn't even get the education.
So for the colleges and the universities, what they ought to do is they ought to take and offer tuition based on the amount of money you'll make in that quote unquote profession. I got news for you. That would change a lot of things real quick.
No, absolutely would. But, you know, it's that easy federal money that, you know, had this climb. I've got 50 texts here saying the same thing. I agree with y'all. It made that climb in what it costs to go to school. I think my anecdote's a pretty fair one. From what it cost me starting as a student at the University of Alabama in 1990 and what it cost my nephews, you know, my brother was paying for my nephews decades later. I was like, holy cow, the jobs don't pay five times as much as they did when I graduated, you know, in the 90s. So. Oh, well.
Well, it goes back to the other part about choosing, you know, making choices. So you got to make choices, but you also got to remember there's consequences to the choices you make.
This is true. That's true in all parts of our lives, Freddie. It's very true. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. It looks like President Biden may be coming to explain this. They've got the cameras on. And there's the presidential seal and the podium, so we may be going to that here shortly. We'll keep our eyes on that if he starts speaking. Let's see. Tony says, I'll take my $10,000 in a tax break. Yeah, a lot of people saying when the federal government got involved, I agree. I'm not trying to just plant a flag and say, look, we've done this before. But we've talked about this stuff for a decade plus on this show. It's been a I don't even know a crawl is the right word. It's been a sprint with the cost of college as the federal money got easier to get. So, and there was more of it. So the colleges and universities raised their rates. And then the next year, the federal government said, well, it takes this much to go to the college. And they raised their amounts and it goes up. I mean, there was only upward factors on the price of school, not downward factors. Michael says it's not hard to see what the plan is. It's managed decline of the U.S. economy. The Democrats are sprinting towards the bottom, and the Republicans have been on a Sunday stroll towards the bottom, but both parties are on the same path. Unnamed texter, student loan relief, a socialist move or a way for Democrats to get more votes. Let's see. George says this is setting us up to argue about this instead of the important stuff. The old false flag, or as I call it, throw the tennis ball at the corner of the yard so the dog chases it that way. Pete says, my biggest gripe with college education has been the disparity between tuition increases and professor pay. Yep. So the majority of your tuition increase goes to facilities, new buildings, palatial classrooms, not hiring the most qualified professors. And there's a lot of these coming in soon. So, I mean, if y'all didn't hear it, and the president's about to speak on this, but here's how the deal is laid out. The announcement that I think a lot of people were pretty sure was coming. The announcement is that, I like how they wrote this, even Fox News, I'm reading this from foxnews.com, and they said it this way. President Biden announces today that he will cancel $10,000 of federal student loan debt. Like that. Why the hell don't we just have a monarchy, huh? It says President Biden announced Wednesday he will cancel $10,000 of federal student loan debt for certain borrowers making less than $125,000 per year and up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients, while extending the pause on federal student loan payments through the end of the year. That's the other one to watch, seriously. I mean, because that can was kicked a couple times down the road when former President Trump was in office. I said, once that thing got started, they said, okay, we're going to put a halt. And I get it. Pandemic was there. People were locked down. They couldn't work. And they put a halt on student loan payment, right, for the federal student loans. They said, okay, we'll give you a stay there. But who is the person who's in charge when they have to turn it back on? See, it's easy. It's a political rah-rah-rah, even if it's the right thing to do. it's a politically popular thing to do that. But eventually, you know, you might want to say, when I'm out of office someday, whatever party, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever. You put something like that in and you're like, okay, well, I can't wait for somebody who's not me to have to be the person that turns it back on. The nation's federal student debt now tops $1.6 trillion after ballooning for years. More than 43 million Americans have federal student loan debt, with almost a third owing less than $10,000 and more than half owing less than $20,000, according to the latest federal data. So, I mean, this will wipe the debt clean for some of these folks out there. Hey, speaking of, before the president speaks, let's get to something equally important, and that is the Cash Me Outside girl and her scholarship. Remember who I'm talking about? The bad baby, the Cash Me Outside, this person?
That they're going to drop a hammer on you and prosecute you to the full extent of the law.
Dad, I do my time in jail. Jail ain't nothing. That's what I always do, and they never catch me. Ain't nobody going to catch me.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like something funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
By the way, I'm glad we had a translator for that.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that. Dalton, maybe we can hold that clip for a Midday Mobile opener. I like that with Dr. Phil talking about the hoes.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Yeah, like Dr. Phil, when that first happened, I was confused. I'm surprised that he could translate it that quickly. So that is the Cash Me Outside girl, right? You've heard of her. We've talked about her. A bad baby is her. Danielle Bregoli is her given Christian name, but she goes by Bad Baby with a lot of BHAs in there. And then we talked about her because she went to OnlyFans and has made like $50 million showing her stuff on OnlyFans. Well, listen to this. So let's flip this around. So those are the kind of stories you've had about Danielle Bregoli, the streetwise chick from Boynton Beach, Florida, which, let me tell you, if you're looking at tough neighborhoods, it's not Boynton Beach, Florida. Okay. So Danielle Bregoli, it was first, okay, they talked more about what we've always talked about with her. And then it says, here we go. The BAD scholarship, B-H-A-D, is coming out. Bregoli's non-traditional pathway to financial security and success on her own terms has also inspired her to help others forge their own path. Oh, wait. President speaking. We'll have to get back to Bad Baby in just a second. Let's go to about the same kind of story here.
Yes. We became, not figuratively, literally the best educated public in the world and better prepared than any other nation. And I would argue that it's one of the reasons why we were so successful and have been so successful. But as you've all observed, other nations have caught up. In the 21st century, in my view, I think the vast majority of Americans, 12 years of universal education is not enough. And that we're going to be outcompeted by the rest of the world if we don't take action. But here's the deal. The cost of education beyond high school has gone up significantly. The total cost to attend a public four-year university has tripled, nearly tripled in 40 years. Tripled. Instead of properly funding public colleges, many states have cut back their support. We're just talking about that in the Oval. Many states have cut back support for their state universities, leaving students to pick up more of the tab. And for 50 years, Pell Grants had been a key way for the federal government to help lower-income families, particularly those earning less than $60,000 a year, to send their kids to college. Those Pell Grants used to cover 80% of the cost of going to a public four-year college. Today, Pell Grants cover 32%. That's one-third of the cost as opposed to before. It matters. I remember walking up, and now my dad, like probably a lot of your folks, cared a lot about your education. My dad's greatest regret was that he never got to go to college. And my dad was a very well-read man, particularly history, and but it was a great regret. And he always said, Joey, you're going to be a college man. And I say, Dad, but what does that matter? I mean, you can still get fired if you're a college man. He says, yeah, but they can never take it away from you. They can never take your education away. And I remember my senior year, I got into one of the little Ivies, and I got into a number of schools, and we're trying to get the money, even with financial assistance, to be able to go there. We had four kids, all of us wanting to go to school. And I remember going down after a baseball game. I went to a really good school up in Claymont, Delaware, on the Pennsylvania border. And I drove down to Newark, Delaware, where my dad worked at an automobile agency. And I walked in, and I had my spikes, and because the reason I was going down, when your dad works at an automobile agency, the great advantage, you get a new car to go to the prom, or a good used car off the lot. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking.
Okay, is this going to just be story time?
You want Plymouth?
Dalton, if you could monitor it, because we got stuff to do here. I mean, I know it's the President of the United States, but he's not getting in details. He's doing story time, and Uncle Joe recalls here. So, I mean, back to the hard news of this. So the Cash Me Outside girl, Danielle Bregoli, Bad Baby. I just wanted to do this since we're talking about scholarships, we're talking about student loans, talking about all this stuff together. It says that Cash Me Outside girl has partnered with EduCapital Foundation to create the Bad, B-H-A-D, Bad Scholarship Award. The $1.7 billion scholarship will help 1,000 students enrolled in technical and trade schools nationwide, with those awarded the BAD scholarship having the opportunity to pursue careers in various trades, ranging from cosmetology to cybersecurity to the business of cannabis. So Bad Baby, who has made her fortune from the OnlyFans, really, that's kind of, I think, where the majority of the one, we're showing her, different side of her on OnlyFans has made her like $50 million. You know what I'm saying? Shocker to y'all. Good for her. Good for Danielle Bregoli. I mean, she has been the butt of many jokes. She has driven lots of radio news stories, TV news stories, stuff on the web. I don't know what I can say other than good job. So there you go. I can't. If you judge a book by the cover, then you need to catch it outside or something like that, right?
The hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
All right. So listen, you bunch of people. Be right back. Maybe the president will get in the meat of this announcement by the time we return right here on Midday Mobile. But yeah, if you want your kids to be looking for like a trade school scholarship, the Cash Me Outside girl has stepped up. She's offering a scholarship, not loan forgiveness.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, you know, this is a good point. Like midweek, right? Midweek to strategize for getting stuff done. Next week, I got to strategize too because I've been getting texts that we have somehow adopted a new animal in our house that I've lost institutional control, Dalton, I'll tell you after the show, of the pets in my house. But if you're starting to look at next week, trying to get some things planned, maybe cleaning out junk out of the house, storage unit, maybe your business is part of what you got to do, get that appointment made. Heck, you could do it for the second half of this week or get something first part of next week. It's very easy when you set that appointment with my friend Trey and his crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Okay, 14 years of doing great business here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. They've worked for us at the radio station, me personally at the house, Dalton and Dan, and others that work here, plus the people who text me and call in. And I mean, Beth the other day who called in, who just wanted to express how great her experience was with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I love it because I know the guy, Trey. He's a buddy of mine, great company. And if you got junk you need gone, it could be big stuff, it could be lots of little stuff, it could be a combination of both, whatever. You got junk, you want it gone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make that appointment online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or you can pick up the phone and the name is the number. Call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check it out. Make that appointment. You could do it for like this week or Monday or Tuesday, but you got that junk. You need to get it gone. You need to do that with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. What? Somebody wants... we can check back in with story time. I don't know. What's he doing now?
Because of resumption of debt. Independent experts agree that these actions taken together will provide real benefits for families without meaningful effect on inflation. Let's be clear. I hear it all the time. How do we
sure you do.
We pay for it by what we've done. Last year, we cut the deficit by more than $350 billion. This year, we're on track to cut by more than $1.7 trillion.
Story time is awesome today with the president, isn't it?
Yep.
Deficit reduction.
And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the president. All right. Listen, Paul Feinbaum comes on whether I shut up or not, so I'll let him do his thing. We will talk again tomorrow. This is Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5, and I think it's swell you're here. It's a good thing. So if you want to catch me outside, I guess we can do that. But it's raining.